to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Same time. For Iran and anybody else who has any other ideas, let me make clear. The United States maintains 40,000 troops in that region. 23,000 in Kuwait. And numbers of others in countries throughout that region. Let me make clear to them and to anybody else that America will maintain a presence in that part of the world.
There's Defense Secretary Leon Panetta assuring Iran that America will maintain a presence in the Middle East, even though we're moving our troops out of Iraq. That's where we get started this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show, an overview of the hot hits during the week. I'm Doug Steffen. Let's get started by listening to radio host Jack Harris and Ted Webb talking to retired Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, who doesn't think the time is right to bring the troops back from Iraq.
We have been told that all troops are going to be leaving Iraq by the end of this year. By December 31st, they're going to be out of there, with the exception of about 200 Marines that are going to be left there to protect the U.S. Embassy. Is this good strategy to be leaving now, given the fact that they were intransigent enough not to give our troops any kind of immunity?
Well, from a military point of view, Jack and Ted, it is not a good thing to do right now. It gives Iran a green light for the whole Arabian Peninsula. Iraq was kind of a blocking force while we were there. And before we were there under Saddam Hussein, who was Iran's arch enemy, it prevented the Iranians from sweeping across the Arabian Peninsula. They have heavy influence in Syria and Lebanon with Hezbollah today, as well as the influence in the Gaza Strip, Hamas. They're starting to influence covertly Jordan and Egypt. This is not a good sign. It could be a major strategic blunder, although it may look good politically for the election. It could be a major military geostrategic blunder in years to come.
General, given the fact that Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan has said that if we go to war with Pakistan, that he's going to back Pakistan, given the fact that we're getting kicked out of Iraq, don't you think that in the future, instead of trying to do nation building, we ought to just go in there, bomb our enemies, get the hell out, don't worry about rebuilding or anything else?
Two different questions. You're right on the second part. Hamid Karzai was really kabuki. He was just, he's got to live in the neighborhood, and President Obama said we're going to be out of there by 14. So he knows that the Taliban, the only way they're succeeding over there is because the Pakistani government is supporting it. But for kabuki and for presence, because he's got to live there under the Pakistanis, that's why he said that. He doesn't really believe it. But your second point, should we go to a counterterrorism strategy rather than a coin counterinsurgency, which is nation building, I'm 100% behind you on that one, Jack. And yeah, Ted, you guys have got it spot on.
Yeah, the other thing here, when you're talking about leaving Iraq, we seem to forget that there is a religious factor in this. And while Iran is heavily, heavily Shia, the same thing is true of Iraq. The majority of the population is a Shia. It's the only other Shia nation in the Middle East, and that they really, through religion, have a natural alliance, don't they?
Well, they do, but the Iraqis do not want to be, some of them don't want to be subservient to the Iranians.
Yeah.
And there's no question that 60% of Iraq is Shia. Probably 70% of Iran is Shia, maybe a little higher.
Yeah.
But so there's no question there is an alignment there, and we shouldn't ignore that. But that's different than wanting to adopt the radical Islamic motives that the current Iranian mullahs have been preaching for over almost 30-some years now.
In a moment, we'll have some more reaction to the president's announcement that our troops will be out of Iraq entirely by Christmas, up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Do you only wear clothes that hide your psoriasis? Do you constantly have to explain your itching? Are you embarrassed by flaking or scaling? If you said yes to any of these questions, you're eligible to try a new treatment called SevaClear, risk-free. SevaClear has been found to help stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by psoriasis. SevaClear is a non-prescription topical treatment proven to help eliminate the reoccurrence of skin psoriasis. The results are so incredible that patients have described this formula as life-changing. Stop hiding under long-sleeve shirts and long pants. Call now for your risk-free trial of SevaClear. But hurry, this special offer won't last.
Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194. Try SevaClear risk-free. Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold here? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. Alright then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. Solomon Jamerson, 2nd Infantry Division, awarded the Silver Star for heroism.
There was a courier-type individual walking down the street. This one individual came up to the road junction and went into a ranch house, a farmhouse, pushed down the wall, and then an artillery piece started firing at our tanks up, advancing up the road. We went back up and continued firing on all the various locations, and numerous other locations had opened up fire at that point, which confirmed my suspicions that they were laying in wait for our units to come. I did not learn about it until a year later, I was back in the States. But the commander down on the ground was so pleased with our actions, he put us both in for the Silver Star.
See more hero stories at KoreanWar.defense.gov.
Hi, this is Ed Krell, Chief Executive Officer of Destination Maternity. It's a sad fact that each year, thousands of babies here at home and millions more worldwide are born too soon. The problem is big, but that shouldn't stop us. Together with the March of Dimes, we're helping moms in our community get the care they need to have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Help us raise awareness of this crisis and put an end to premature birth for good. Learn and do more at marchofdimes.com.
For the lovers of talk radio, this is the overview of the hot hits, looking at the big hits or listening to. And here's an example of what we have from TV, Wolf Blitzer on CNN talking to Samir Soumadeh, who's the Iraqi ambassador to the U.S., about whether it's going to be good for Iraq to have all of our troops leaving.
Is this going to be good for the Iraqi people, that there won't be any U.S. military troops left? Or would it have been better if 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 U.S. troops maintained a presence there?
You know, Wolf, there is no use speculating about that. The reality is we have a democratic system. There was consultation. This is what the leaders of the main blocs in parliament have decided.
They didn't want to give immunity to U.S. troops.
No,
remain.
They didn't. You know, Iraqis are very touchy about given their recent history, very touchy about independence and sovereignty. And this is what they come up with. We have to make it work. And I think, as I said, this is the end of an era, the beginning of another.
Did the Obama administration, and you're familiar with all the back and forth, the negotiations that were going on, seriously want to maintain a modest U.S. military presence in Iraq? Because some of the critics say they never even wanted that. What did the Obama administration want to maintain a presence there?
To judge by the serious negotiations conducted by the American ambassador in Baghdad and the commander of the American forces, yes, they were very serious and very positive.
What was the number? How many troops did the U.S. want?
There were many numbers bandied about. And again, I'm not going to go into speculating. But what I want to say here is that this could be the beginning of a very positive chapter. This is not the end of the world. It could be the beginning of a good thing. Instead of boots on the ground, we will have more suits on the ground. We need economy, economic support. We need business, American businessmen to come in. And it's not necessary to have always the emphasis on the security side.
Because there is concern, as you all know, John McCain has expressed this concern, Lindsey Graham, others, that Iran will fill a void. Its allies, Muqtada al-Sadr and Shiite extremists, will fill that void of the U.S. departure.
Well, there is a danger always in any vacuum that somebody or another will try to fill it. But Iraqis are very touchy about their independence and sovereignty, as I said, and they don't take kindly to intervention and any attempt to impose an external will on them, as their American friends have already discovered.
How much influence does Iran have in Iraq right now with some of these various Islamist groups?
Well, they might have some influence with some people. With the Iraqi people as a whole, as I said, Iraqis are very independent-minded. People will try to exercise influence, not only the Iranians, the Turks, the Saudis, and even our friends, the Americans. We will accept only the influence which is beneficial to the country.
Here's host Steve Juhas talking about the reasons we are really removing our troops.
Now, The Atlantic did a story on the fact that the United States was told by Iraq that we had to leave. We could not come up. It's called a SOFA, the Status of Forces Agreement. That is what happens when you station military forces in one country that is outside the United States. So say you're a troop in Germany. If you're stationed in Germany, there's a status of forces agreement between the United States and Germany that basically comes to an agreement. If somebody gets caught on a misdemeanor, if somebody gets caught driving while intoxicated, these are the steps you follow, the status of forces agreement. It's very simple. It's very, very direct. It's a way that you agree that you are going to station military assets of yours in a sovereign land. Iraq didn't want us there. So President Obama comes out and he says, well, you know what? I announce not only that we're leaving Iraq, but somehow or another, we're leaving Iraq on his terms. We're not leaving Iraq on his terms. We're not leaving Iraq on any good terms. We are leaving Iraq at a time on the very day. Think of this. On the very day, almost a couple of hours before the announcement was made here, that we were getting out of Iraq and that all of the troops would be home by Christmas, and that's the date, Christmas, I guess maybe Hanukkah, I don't know. I guess if you're a Jew, you can apply to come home early. But everybody will be home by Christmas. But the day before that, the Iraqi and the Iranian foreign ministers were meeting so that they could discuss how they could form a more unified front, keeping in mind when Saddam Hussein was in power, Iraq was, I can't remember if it was Shia or Sunni, but it was one of those two factions. And Iran is the other one of the Sunni or Shiite. Now, they're both the same. I think it's, what is it? Sunni. So now they're both Sunni Arab. Why would two Arab states, why would they not get along? So Hillary Clinton makes a big deal of this and tells us that Iran needs to stay out and not to underestimate. This was almost surreal. She was on Meet the Press again from Uzbekistan. And she puts the Iranians on notice, something we've been doing for 10 years over the nuclear program, by the way. She puts them on notice that we are there to stay.
Up next, more on the end of our involvement in Iraq here on The Countdown.
You can bet your life on eFoods Direct. Alex has told you about the amazing, great-tasting, long-term storable food from eFoods Direct and how a food savings account is your best insurance against natural disasters, job loss, and high food costs. But did you know that this dehydrated food also protects you against foodborne contaminants like E. coli and salmonella? Those poisonous critters can't live in low-moisture food from eFoods Direct. Ask for the Alex Fall Special. The Fall Special is a 24-day supply of food in a convenient, portable container, a $259 value for only $199. Save $60 on 160 servings of the best food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Fall Special and go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 24 hours, 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
It's the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Hot hits include the discussion of what's going on in Iraq. Here's radio man Jim Wright talking to Congresswoman Anne Marie Burkle of New York, who thinks we also are leaving Iraq too soon.
All right, your first take, your first impression on what the president said.
Well, my first reaction always is to think about the troops and the 4,400 American soldiers, women and men who lost their lives in service of our country and their families. We must pay them tribute and understand their service and their sacrifice. So that's always my first thought. Beyond that, you know, unfortunately, they failed to reach the status of force agreement. So the number of troops and what capacity they'll remain over there is what's at stake. So he's decided to pull them out. You know, I think, and all we can hope for is that the Iraqi people are ready to take on this challenge. And I think both sides probably agree they're not. But it is what it is.
Well, there's some talk that really the Iraqis had wanted us out of there. Is that true to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, no. But the fact that he, the president, and the president of Iraq didn't reach an agreement that, you know, there may be more than we're hearing about. It's just, it's such an inherently unstable region. And you've got Iraq, you know, it's divided with sects and ethnicities, and those problems have not been resolved. And, you know, the question is, would they ever be resolved? So it's just going to be interesting to see what happens there now.
Well, what do you think is going to happen there now?
I hope that the Iraqi military will be able to step up and protect and continue on what the Americans started, both at a tremendous cost of treasure and as well as American lives. I hope that they can do that.
I doubt it, though.
I know. Well, so the question becomes, is the withdrawal too premature, and should they have tried to reach some sort of an agreement? You know, the president during his campaign in 2008 said he was opposed to the war in Iraq, and so he's keeping a campaign promise, I would say.
Right. And though it's interesting, too, because we had agreed to leave Iraq by this year, but we were going to leave like 3,000 to 5,000 troops there, right?
That's exactly right. The plan conforms with what George W. Bush, the agreement that was negotiated. What isn't being implemented is how many troops will stay to continue training, as well as to monitor the potential, the flashpoints, the borders, particularly up in the north, the Kurdish border with Iraq. So that's the piece they haven't been able to settle, the status of forces agreement that says how many troops will remain and what their mission will be. And so with that, there will only be 150 remaining to protect the embassy.
Here's host Wayne Cabot with military analyst Jeff McCausland about the departure.
As American wars go, where does the Iraq war rank in terms of meeting goals for the United States? Jeff, give us the cost-benefit analysis, if you can, after this 10-year war.
I think it's very tough to do that right now, Wayne, and historians will do that in the future. But what we do know is that about 4,482, as of today, young Americans have given their lives in the war in Iraq, and about 32,000 more are wounded several grievously. Obviously, in the course of this conflict, we toppled one of the most brutal dictatorships on the planet, Saddam Hussein. We didn't find the weapons of mass destruction that we argued were really part and parcel of that conflict. And over the years now, we've tried to bring stability to this country and actually develop a fledgling democracy. And now it's going to be up to the Iraqi government and their leaders and their military and police to move on to the next chapter in Iraqi history and bring the country on into the 21st century.
Well, yeah, you've talked about bringing stability to the area. Has that been accomplished? There will not be any more U.S. troops there at all, as I understand it.
There will not be any U.S. troops there at all, except a couple hundred who will be securing the embassy. Obviously, we'll still have troops and military forces in the region. There'll be a pretty hefty U.S. Army force in Kuwait and U.S. naval forces in the Persian Gulf. But you're quite right. It's a fragile place right now, Wayne. On the average, about 7 Iraqis are killed every single day by suicide bombings, roadside bombs, and the kind of terrorist attacks. And so it's really an open question whether the military we created and police forces and that Iraqi government can bring that long-term stability to the country.
Okay, enough on that. Let's move to the Occupy Wall Street protestors next in review on the Radio Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Mark Twain once said that the secret of success was making your vocation your vacation. And I can't think of anything I'd rather do than save folks money on their car insurance with GEICO. I'm proud to have helped millions of drivers save and save big. Hundreds of dollars a year. Come to think of it, my bosses say I should take a vacation. I'll probably go to the beach, get a little sun, see if anyone needs to save money on their car insurance. There I go again.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you've never experienced gelling with Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles,
you've never walked all the way to work on top of cushy throw pillows,
or worked the jackhammer while standing in a field of beautiful daisies.
That's because gelling does more than change the way you feel. It changes your state of mind.
So I can teach my class while enjoying the soft white sand under my feet.
Experience outrageous comfort for yourself. Just go to Walmart and look for Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. Are you gelling?
I'm glad I have feet.
Thanks again for the generous donation.
Oh, don't mention it. When I heard from Katie, who read Kevin's blog that sent everyone to a fan page because of a tweet Bobby shared about the newsletter you sent him in an email, well, I just had to help out.
Start your own word-of-mouth campaign by combining Constant Contact email marketing with social media and spread your message to potential donors like never before. Get started today at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact plans are as low as $15 a month and now come with a money-back guarantee.
When you're looking for an easier way to stick to your budget this season, we're with you. With a debit card or credit card from Wells Fargo, you can set up account alerts to help you stay on track. Alerts can be sent to your phone or email, so you'll know the moment you've reached the limits you set. And setting up account alerts is easy. Take comfort knowing you have the tools to stay on budget. Call, click, or stop by to learn more about account alerts. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey's most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Doug Steffen with a welcome back to our Talk Radio listeners around the country and around the world at DougSteffen.com. Our attention now on the Occupy Wall Street protests. Here's host Dave Visor with journalism professor Jeff Cohen about the way the news media has been covering this movement.
Hey, Jeff, there is no question that the mainstream media, as it's known, really ignored this protest when it first started.
Yeah, they didn't know what to make of it. Frankly, no one knew what to make of it. I think that independent media was there from the beginning. I first heard about it from Democracy Now, which, you know, you can hear on Ithaca on TV and radio.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's clearly been fueled by independent media. It's a lot of young organizers. I've met a number of them. They know how to use social media. They know how to get their message out through independent media that care about these issues of income inequality and wealth inequality and unemployment. So there's really been a symbiotic relationship between the organizers of this event and independent media that are really focused on those issues. And I think that, you know, mainstream media came along later, came along at first pretty denigrating, you know, a lot of fun was had with the organizers of this movement and the activists in this movement. And then things shifted when I think mainstream journalists realized that this movement wasn't going away. It wasn't to be made fun of. These people really had a steely resolve. They were serious. And so things have changed a little bit. And you know, you can always look at the turning points. In fact, researchers have studied the ebb and flow of media coverage and, mm-hmm. you know, the rise of media coverage. When there was that incident where the New York police, and it was largely supervisors, not rank and file cops,
mm-hmm.
When there was some incidents of pepper spraying of young women who are clearly not a threat to anyone, already in custody, in a sense, already pacified, threatening no one, and pepper sprayed them, and it's all on videotape because all the activists have cameras. That's when things really shot up in terms of coverage. And then the second time is when the unions in New York City, a number of unions, joined the young people at the protest, and then coverage really shot up.
With a much different take on media coverage of the Occupy movement, here's host Bill Cunningham with Kylie Olson from townhall.com.
Talk to me about your thoughts about the Occupy movement, what it is and who supports it.
Sure. Well, it's really interesting to see how it's developed. And what has become clear to me is that it really is a group of far-left activists. You look at the videos that are coming out, you look at the press statements, you look at the signs and those types of things, and it's communists, and it's socialists, and it's anarchists. And they're not, I don't believe that their beef is just with Wall Street, but it's with free markets and capitalism in general. Right. And so what we're seeing is these people with very little clarity in terms of their message, and very little direction in terms of what they think should happen. And what's sad to me is that the media just is gobbling this up. And now we've got, as you said, people actually comparing this to the Tea Party movement, and they are night and day.
I've been to the Tea Party movement, several of them. I emceed one. And they were clean individuals with the American flag, with lawn chairs, who cleaned up after themselves, much like the Glenn Beck rally on the Mall, took after themselves. They were working Americans concerned about this country, and they changed the world in 2010. But,
that's right.
But these people, it reminded me of the 60s and 70s protest movements. It reminded me of the crowd that I confronted in 2004 when I went to the Republican National Convention as a spectator when George Bush was renominated, and it was blocks around Madison Square Garden had to be blocked off because of people spitting in the face of anyone wearing a suit, disgusting urination in public, screaming, hollering obscenities at women that were seemingly dressed going to the convention. If Republicans had done that to African-Americans going to the Democratic Convention, all hell would have broke loose.
But that's right.
The F-bomb, MF this, MF that, were said to women in their 30s and 40s looking nice, walking to the convention and spitting on them. That never would have happened. Never. It would have been covered by the media completely different. Why doesn't the media objectively cover the Occupy movement the way it is?
Well, my guess is that to some degree they sympathize with it, but what's happening is, as we're seeing around the country now, is that the activists, the occupiers, are turning against the media. There are great videos coming out on Breitbart.tv that show what's happening in Oakland, for example, where there's this tent city that's come up that's been built on the front lawn of the city hall. And there's reports of rats and public sex and drug use and all of these types of things. And so the local media is trying to cover it. Well, when the cameras get close, the people actually are threatening the reporters. They're threatening the cameramen, physical harm, breaking their equipment, those types of things. I mean, it's just out of control.
The presidential race. A lot of the Republican candidates seem to be turning on Herman Cain. That's up next on the Talk Radio Review.
Hi, I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grownups.
Here we go. Cod liver oil. Smells like fried cat puke. Won't bother me. Lost my sense of smell in the Chem Lab explosion years ago.
Birdwatchers Steve Martin and Owen Wilson face the great outdoors in The Big Year. The two and co-star Jack Black went all the way to the Yukon, and director David Frankel told me they loved it.
That was a treat for all of them. They're all fans of each other's, and they got along famously, and they're really funny. I mean, as funny as they were on screen, they were just as funny off screen.
Now this. You know, the easiest way to watch movies is instantly in your own home with your digital cable remote. Many movies are available on demand on cable weeks before you can rent them on DVD. Here's what's hot on movies on demand on cable this week. Ryan Reynolds lights up the screen in Green Lantern. Recess is over for Cameron Diaz in Bad Teacher. Selena Gomez and Leighton Meester are a sure bet in Monte Carlo. And Demian Bashir seeks a better life. See what's coming soon at rentmoviesondemand.com and make movie night an MOD night. That's Movies for Grownups. I'm Bill Newcott.
Time, ladies and gentlemen, for the million bottle giveaway. You heard right. 1 million bottles of something that will protect that which is near and dear to both men and women. Men, your prostate, your well-being, your life. Women, intimacy, and a good night's rest. It starts with taking the Master Prostate Formula. It starts now by your calling 800-716-6520. Master Prostate has 12 key ingredients shown to promote healthy prostate function, help you get a good night's rest. It's all natural. The best part is you can get a free bottle, part of the Master Prostate Million Bottle Giveaway. Just pay a small shipping and handling fee, and your bottle is on its way. 800-716-6520. Call that now. Get a good night's rest. Take my word for it. Master Prostate is incredible. Try it now. Free. The free bottle offer won't last. Call now. 800-716-6520.
For a limited time, you can add the OnStar FMD mirror to your car for only $199. It's like having a portable nav, a roadside assistance plan, Bluetooth, and a stolen vehicle system, plus automatic help in a crash. And it's compatible with most cars. Add OnStar FMD to your car at Best Buy for only $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and OnStar subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and more retailers. Hurry, offer ends October 31st, 2011.
Like to share? You'll love Thanks for Sharing at Macy's. Sign up now and you'll get 10% rewards and get to help some really great causes by shopping with your Macy's credit card. It's easy. Just sign up, shop, and before you know it, you're spending your rewards card. Charge $25 to your Macy's card and get 10% rewards on most Macy's card purchases from when you enroll through December 31st. Macy's donates $10 up to $15 million to national and local charities. See a sales associate or go to Macy's.com/thanks and enroll today.
There's nothing like a ghost story around the campfire, and I've got one that's not for the faint of heart. Once there was a camper who did not insure his RV with Geico. He didn't listen when fellow campers told him how much money Geico saved them by insuring their campers, trailers and pop-ups, or how he could save even more with a multi-policy discount. The camper paid dearly for his mistake. He paid out the nose, poor chap. Well, good luck getting to sleep after that doozy of a tale.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
The presidential race, who's on top? From Fox, Martha McCallum talks to Karl Rove about recent statements made by Herman Cain, which seem to have a lot of the other candidates on the attack.
Our senior political analyst says that the honeymoon may be over for Herman Cain. Cain says that he's pro-life. Yeah, he also says, though, that that decision should be a personal one. And Britt Hume believes that that contradiction is a big problem for Herman Cain. Here is Herman Cain in the interview I did with him on Friday.
Look, abortion should not be legal. That is clear. But if that family made a decision to break the law, that's that family's decision. That's all I'm trying to say.
So Karl Rove was a senior advisor and deputy chief of staff to President George W. Bush. He's also a Fox News contributor. Good morning, Carl. Good to have you here this morning.
Thanks, Martha.
Do you agree with what Britt said about Herman Cain and his trajectory?
Yes. If you look at the polls, in fact, there's a hint that sometime between October 6th and October 10th, Cain peaked and has begun to slide slightly since then. And look, it's not just abortion. It's the Cain has had a number of misstatements. I mean, we've had abortion. We had earlier this year, he didn't understand what the right of return was, the Palestinian demand for the right of return. He recently said he didn't understand what neoconservatives were when it came to foreign policy. He had a rather odd answer on Afghan policy. Basically, I'll figure it out once I get into office. The federal sales tax, the way he handled it in the debate, apples and oranges, and, you know, it is a federal sales tax, and he just simply wouldn't acknowledge it. And then does he have a VAT, a value-added tax, in the form of his 9% corporate tax rate, or is it 9% corporate income tax rate?
Yeah.
The whole effect of this is to not create an image, I think, of him as being a flip-flopper. I think it is to create an image of him as not being up to this task.
And that's
really deadly.
Yeah,
that's really deadly for a presidential candidate.
A question. When you're, you know, everybody's listening to these folks as they're up there and evaluating their answers on these things. And I think any candidate, Carl, can get away with, you know, one or
sure.
two times when they sort of, you know, make a mistake or they, you know, are taken out of context, truly. I think everybody can sort of excuse that once in a while. I just want to play, this was Herman Cain on Fox and Friends. In response to the Wolf Blitzer question, when he was asked about whether or not he would be willing to do the kind of prisoner trade that Benjamin Netanyahu did to recover Gilad Shalit. And here's what he said about that.
He did a quick redirect and referred to Gitmo. And in the heat of getting ready for a debate and everything else, I didn't stop and think that Gitmo is where we hold terrorists. So I misstated. So I misspoke relative to that. But then I went back and corrected and said, as president, we will not negotiate with terrorists.
Problematic. right?
Yeah, confusing. I mean, yeah. Better to say, not to get into the detail, but simply say, let me tell you what my view is. This is my view. You're right. Everybody gets a mulligan. Everybody, in fact, gets a couple of mulligans. But you look at Herman Cain's record here, and while he shows a lot of passion, a lot of energy, he's grabbed a lot of attention with the 999 tax plan. It's the cumulative effect of all these misstatements and errors is to create a sense that he's not up to it.
Here's Taco's Nick Reed, focused on the attacks on Mr. Cain and how Reed believes the other candidates are just jealous.
The other candidates are really kind of mad at him because his strategy isn't really to hit states in a traditional way. It's just this mass appeal to the country. And he had, as of not too long ago, I don't know if this has been increased, only 10 paid staffers across the entire country. That's it. And I think one of them was in Iowa, yet he's 4 or 7 points ahead in Iowa in the lead. So there's a little bit of envy there. It's sort of like the group of girls that have spent their entire life living in one small town, America, and then the new girl moves in the senior year and all the football players like her, and she just, you know, just saunters on in to cheerleading practice and gets on the squad because she's new and pretty, and you know, that jealousy that all the others have, that well, who are you? You didn't even have to pay your dues. This is what a lot of other Republicans are feeling about Herman Cain. I mean, there's jealousy there. It's like he's the Dane Cook of politicians. You know, Dane Cook, the comedian that's, I don't know exactly how he became famous. I mean, it was from being a comedian, but other comedians hate him because he just blew up huge on the scene, and he went from nobody to movie roles and HBO specials, and all these other comedians, they just hate the guy and say that he's not that funny.
And
it's not because of his fame. It's because they spent all this time, all this effort. They've taken a lot of hard knocks. They've been up, they've been down their entire careers. Some of them have been there before. Some of them haven't been. They have all these highly intelligent individuals that are supposed to be experts telling them how to win, what to say, what not to say. And then this Herman Cain guy, he just comes along and he speaks his mind, and he's got this 999 plan, and everybody loves him. They're mad. They paid their dues. They paid their dues. So they're really mad about that. So now they're after him because of something he said about abortion. I don't even know what it is. I mean, anything that he says, they jump all over. Absolutely jump all over.
Talk host Joe Pagliarulo, known as Joe Pags, here talking about Rick Perry. Pags is a Texas host, and the recent interview he gave that included questions about the birther issue.
Is the birther issue going to be an issue for Governor Perry? He was interviewed by Parade Magazine the other day. Interviewed by Parade Magazine. And he was asked for some reason about the birth certificate. Now, I'm not sure I understand why that's a viable question for a candidate for president. You have an opportunity to sit down with the candidate and talk to him about his feelings on politics and about the future of the country. What does Obama's birth certificate have to do with it? I say nothing, but I think that this is a red herring that they throw out there to see if they can paint somebody as a nut job. Here's the question from the Parade Magazine. Governor, do you believe that President Barack Obama was born in the United States? Governor's answer, I have no reason to think otherwise. The reporter then pushes him on it. That's not a definitive yes, I believe he. And the governor jumps in and says, well, I don't have a definitive answer because he's never seen my birth certificate, which is an odd answer. Then the reporter says, but you've seen his? Perry says, I don't know, have I? The reporter says, you don't believe what's been released? Perry says, I don't know. I had dinner with Donald Trump the other night. And the reporter says, Perry says, that came up. And he says, said the reporter, Perry says he doesn't think it's real. And you said, asked the reporter, Perry says, I don't have any idea. It doesn't matter. He's the president of the United States. He's elected. It's a distractive issue. Do you think Governor Perry now has opened a can of worms about the birth certificate, or do you think that his answers were appropriate? And here's the thing. Perry completely said, look, Trump doesn't believe it. Go ask Trump. And he said, and you said, yeah, I think this is probably one of those gotcha questions that Newt Gingrich talked about. Do you think that the birther issue or the birth certificate issue is going to be an issue for Governor Perry? Do you think it'll be an issue in this election? I mean, for more than 4 years now, ever since he was running for president. And remember, the birth certificate issue came up from a Hillary Clinton supporter. Wasn't some Republican, wasn't some righty, wasn't some conservative. A Hillary Clinton supporter brought this up. Do you think this issue is going to play a role whatsoever in the election? Or do you think this is an issue that will help the liberal media try to derail some of these Republican candidates?
Let's talk about Libya and the killing of Gaddafi. That's still in the focus on the talk radio world, so we'll get to it in a moment here.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Lots of buzz in the talk media about Libya, the killing of Gaddafi. From CNN, Christine Romans talks to analyst Damon Wilson about NATO's role in Libya now that Gaddafi is dead.
What do you think will be the ongoing mission now for NATO and the U.S.? Member states, I don't suspect, want a protracted involvement. They don't want to get out too quickly, too.
I think that's right. NATO ambassadors are about to meet, I think, in the next hour or so. And I think you're right. What we'll see today coming out of Alliance headquarters is a decision to conclude the military operation in some type of phased-out approach. But I think there'll also be a recognition that NATO's mission, NATO's operation is done, but NATO's involvement in Libya is not. I think that you'll see an extended hand of assistance, how the Alliance will be able to assist a new civilian government in Libya, with things like civilian control of the military, professionalization of forces, border security. But the reality is it's going to take a little while for the Libyans to put forward a new interim government that can actually speak for the people of Libya and make those requests to the alliance.
In the meantime, they want to make sure there isn't any kind of insurgency or there aren't any last dregs of this regime that somehow pop back. We spoke earlier with an NTC official who told us that they are chasing down Saif al-Islam right now toward the south of the country. They think that they have him surrounded, but he is still, we think, on the loose. Do you think that NATO could be concerned about any kind of insurgency? Is that something we just have to watch over the next few days?
We absolutely need to be concerned about that. We've learned some painful lessons from Iraq and Afghanistan after seeing the toppling of a regime, of a dictator, leading to insurgency. But I think what's different here is that the Libyans have been in control of this operation on the ground themselves. But this does speak to why I think you'll see the NATO ambassadors today talk about how to phase out operations so that they can prudently keep watch as things play out in the coming days.
Vice President Joe Biden essentially said yesterday that this is an example of how we've come up with a better way to do this, that this absolutely worked, that the U.S. doesn't have to go in and unilaterally do things on its own, that this is Europe involved as well, this is NATO leading the way. Is this the new way of approaching these kinds of crises and these sorts of dictators, and can this be extended to Yemen, to Syria? Is this the way the world should operate?
You know, I think there's some important lessons to take away from Libya, and in many respects, this was a successful operation. It's an operation in which the United States did play a pretty prominent role. We may even downplay how much of a role we played. But our European partners really stepped up to the plate. It showed that NATO works, but it also showed that the alliance was effective at including our Arab partners in this operation, a key ingredient to success.
From Talk Radio, Bob Montgomery here with Senator Dan Coats of Indiana. They talk about his concerns in Libya and what happens now that Gaddafi is dead.
What worries do you have about Libya with Gaddafi now out of the picture? There's already word this morning that while there might be a democratic vote within a couple of years, it's probably going to be based on Muslim Sharia law. And as you probably know, that's not exactly with the democratic core.
You know, I think our word to them is, look, we cannot tell you exactly how to run your country or what kind of law you need to follow. But you need to be a responsible member of the community of nations. If you're going to set up a system that harbors terrorists, if you're going to set up a system that denies freedom for individuals within their country, you will not be part of the community of nations. And we will not be able to deal with you, to trade with you. But you have a bright future. If you will put in a sensible system whereby you can work with Europe, work with the world, responsible use and sale of your oil products, which will grow your economy, it's better for the whole if you would follow those rules and play the game without creating all kinds of sectarian violence in or outside of Libya.
Are you hearing with the intelligence, and I know there's only so much you can say, but are you hearing that the Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda-type groups are already jockeying for position?
Well, there's only so far I can go on some of this information, but let me say this. There will be an issue over jostling for who's going to be running the country and who's going to have what influence and so forth. Clearly, I think as the Libyans look what has happened in those countries where they have allowed elements of terrorism, whether it's Al-Qaeda or other, it produces great instability. It stifles any kind of growth and any kind of freedom for people. So they've had some pretty good examples to look at of what has not worked in the past. Hopefully, they will make sensible decisions as a party and as a population there to have responsible government and freedom for the people that they fought so hard to gain.
The stories behind the news and the news behind the news talk chatter all in the Countdown box. Talk Radio Countdown Show section is at DougStephan.com.